Father, thank you for your love. It gives us hope, gives us a future. Father, now as we think about that future and we think about what's in store for us as followers of you, I pray that you would settle down on our heart and give us the great confidence that's necessary to continue to live day by day in the midst of very, very uncertain times. We love you, and we're grateful to be called your sons and daughters. For it's in your name we pray these things. Amen. All right, friends, take your Bibles, open up to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to see a modern day miracle right in your midst today. Only going to preach to you about 12 to 15 minutes. God is going to do something good here today, one way or the other. I was at a ball game yesterday with my eighth grade son, Micah, and they had played this team that they were playing in the playoffs. They had played them the week before. They had lost by 40 points. But they had gone and taken the film, and they began to really dig into the film, and they discovered something. They discovered something. If the quarterback were to line up and both of his feet were on the ground just like this, it was a run play. They knew it. If he were to line up and his left foot were to go up like this, it was a pass play. It was something amazing. I'm sitting up in the stands just watching. And Micah had told me they had discovered this, and they were kind of playing to recognize that they were taking this signal, if you will, and they were adjusting. And my friends, listen, I've never seen anything like that. I was sitting up in the stands, and if that little player's leg went up like this, everybody on the sideline lost their ever-living minds. Pass! It's a pass play! Pass! Pass! I mean, if you're the other team over there, you've got to be thinking to yourself, what is going on? What is going on? It was like they could disguise nothing every time. It didn't matter if it was the first play of the game or the last play of the game. He pop his little heel up, our players would go nuts. And we only lost 8-2. I'm serious. Got a little safety there. How many of you like to live in the midst of mystery, unanswered questions? How many of you guys like that? Not very many of you, I don't suspect. Yeah, there's just something good about knowing the signal calls, isn't there? There's just something good about knowing what to expect. We see just a little bit about what to expect. Under the umbrella of, what will heaven be like? That's the question of the hour. What will heaven be like? What does the Bible say about heaven? Here's what it says. It says, when I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Right on the margins of your Bibles, chapter Genesis 12, we don't have time to go there, but there's that promise that was made all the way back to the covenant with Abraham. You will be my people, I will be your God. And here he's saying this to all Christ followers. Listen, behold, a dwelling place of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. Man, alive, we could just camp out right there on that verse 3, but I don't have time. He will wipe their tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor will there be crying, nor any pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. Amen. I cannot wait for those days. That day, it is done. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the springs of water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all of the liars, their portion will be in the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and fire, which is, in fact, the second death. What will heaven be like? Number one, write this down. Heaven is a prepared place. Might I say this? Heaven is a prepared place for the prepared Christ follower. There's a preparation that is happening right now, both in heaven and right here with us. Here's what Jesus says in John 14. I referenced it earlier. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going, here's the phrase, to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then keep reading here in chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. Here is a picture that we can all kind of map our or wrap around our minds. He says, I see this holy city, this new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You brides, you guys take a little bit of time to get prepared, don't you? I'm right there in the middle of that season right now. Got a big wedding coming up. And last night I told Sarah, I said, Sarah, I gotta go do some work on my computer, but I said, what if I came in here around 7 o'clock, 7:30? What if we watched a show before we retired for the night, catch up on a couple of our shows? She said, great. I go in there, I held up my end of the deal, 7:30, sat down to watch a show. She was still working on her computer, and our phone was going off, a text thread between us and Anna. And we were talking about the wedding. We were talking about our hair. That was one of the topics. And we were talking about not the Unity candle, but the Unity sand. Spoiler alert, it's a sand. Unity sand, that's what's coming. And we were talking about the Unity sand. Now, friends, two topics. I'm telling you right here, right now. Two topics, hair and sand. That's all we talked about. It was on a thread of her mom and myself and her. When I got up from the show that we were, quote, watching together, there were 89 messages between Sarah and Anna concerning hair and sand. I'm telling you, I love the imagery here. It's coming down from heaven as prepared, like a bride adorned for her husband. God is taking utmost interest in getting this place prepared for his children. So heaven is not just a prepared place, but heaven is also a promised place. Ultimately, what is promised? Well, the promise of heaven is, in fact, are you ready for this? The presence of Christ. The promise of Christ, where his redeemed children will be allowed to be in his presence for the rest of eternity. I want you to stop and think about that. I mean, friends, listen. Really stop and think about the one to whom you have yielded control of your life. The one to whom you died unto, right? You died to self that you might live in him. The one to whom every single day of your life should be dominated by him and his will. Just like in the Garden of Eden, all over again. The Bible says in the Garden of Eden that Adam walked with God in the Garden of Eden. They had this unique and special fellowship, unlike what we have ever understood. Oh, my friends, listen, his presence is here. I don't take away from that on any level. But friends, understand this. There's just going to be something special about that moment. I love the old hymn. It says this, he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. You realize there's a day when we get to sing that and it's going to mean something totally different than anything that it means today. Why? Because, friends, it's not going to be us singing to him. I believe on some level or another, it's going to be him reminding us. You're my children. I love you. I died for you. I believe heaven is going to be as special for him as what it is for us. He's indeed going to be there. And in such, we're going to understand the promise of his presence like we've never experienced before. It's a prepared place. It's a promised place. Thirdly, it's a peaceful place. It's a peaceful place. And you might, if you're taking notes, maybe even put a parenthesis in there. I could use this word as well. It's a pleasing place. It's a peaceful place. It's a pleasing place. Let's just read here in verse 4. And friends, ironically, I don't know that I have to do a whole lot of sermonizing today. I think the text here just speaks so abundantly clearly for us. Here's what it says in verse 4. Then I saw the thrones and seated on them. Excuse me, let's get into the 21st chapter. Number 4. chapter 20 is also interesting, but we're in chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Mourning will be no more. Crying will be no more. Pain will be no more. All the former things have indeed passed away. See, ironically, we think about heaven in terms of what will be in heaven. What will we experience when we get to heaven? Friends, listen, ironically, I believe there's a case that can be made theologically that we understand more about what will not be in heaven than what we understand will be in heaven. I think this verse is so abundantly clear. See, we don't know everything about what we will experience in heaven, but we do understand this. There will be no pain in heaven. So anything that causes us pain or any pain that resides within us, friends, that won't be there. There will be no mourning in heaven. Can you imagine a world where there's no grief? How many of you have grief? Would you be so honest to say that there is grief in your life at least once a week over something? It could be trivial, it could be monumental. But there will be no more grief in heaven. There will be no sadness in heaven. There will be no tears. There will be no tears in heaven. We don't know everything that will be there, but we know what won't be there. And then if you go down to verse 8, it gives us just a little bit more. It kind of fleshes this out. Why will there be none of this guilt and grief and sadness and sorrow and death and all that? Why will there not be any of that in heaven? Verse 8 helps us to understand. Because likewise, the cowardly, the faithless, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all of the liars, they're not going to be there. Now, friends, I don't want to be overly blunt with you, but you understand there's coming a time where there's going to be a weeding out here. There's coming a time where heaven, the prepared place for the prepared Christ follower, will indeed take shape, and the prepared Christ follower will be in his prepared place. And understand this, that to the one who did not want to follow Christ, who did not want to be a part of anything related to God, had lived his entire life to try to avoid him, he too will have his wish. He will see why heaven is indeed such a peaceful place. Friends, listen. The light of heaven will be the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven will be the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven will, in fact, be the name of Jesus. The harmony of heaven is going to be the praise of Jesus. And the theme of heaven is going to be the work of Jesus. And the employment of heaven is going to be the service of Jesus. The fullness of heaven is wrapped up in the person and the work of Jesus. And my friends, that's going to be a pleasing place. All that causes angst in your life today, it's all going to be wiped away. It's a prepared place. It's a promised place. It's a pleasing place. The question that I would ask you today to consider is, will you be in that place? Let me finish by just sharing with you an illustration I shared at a funeral just a couple of weeks ago. Those of you who are in attendance can take a nap for the next 30 seconds. One day a man died, and he stood at the gates of heaven. This is obviously a parable of sorts. And he met with Peter. Peter said, "These gates are closed," and refused to let him in. And Peter says, well, tell me why you'll let me in. And he says, well, why don't you tell me why I should let you in? He said, well, because I've done a lot of things. I've been a good person. He says, well, I don't know that you've been good enough, but let's see. He says, how about you tell me the things that you've done, and I'll give you a score. And if you can get your score to 100, I'll let you into heaven. The man thought to himself, well, I don't really like this, but okay, fine. I'll let my merit get me there. I came to church every Sunday. Peter says, good, 2 points. I came to church every Sunday, I get 2 points. Hey, listen, it's kind of the bottom of the barrel what you can do. He says, it's worth 2 points. That's what you get. Take it or leave it. Well, I guess I'll take it. He continues to go on. He said, I gave my offerings and my tithes every week. Great, 3 points. 3 points? He says, if coming to church is the bottom of the barrel, there are a lot of people that didn't give. He said, yeah, but understand, you're just giving back to God what God had already given to you. It wasn't yours anyways. So it's only 3 points, take it or leave it. He said, I guess I'll take it. I participated in ministry. Good, that's good for another 2 points. You've got to be kidding me. He said, I shared Jesus with my friends. No, hey, now listen, now we're getting serious. That's worth 5 points. I went on a mission trip every year for 5 years straight. I'll give you a point, a mission trip. He says, I basically gave you most everything I've got, and you're telling me I'm only at 18 points at this rate? It's going to take the grace of God for me to get in there. Peter looks at him and says, now you're getting it. Oh, my friends, it's a prepared place, and it's a promised place, and it's a pleasing place, but it takes the grace of God to get there. Do you have the grace of God on your life? Have you received him? Are you preparing for that place that he is preparing for you? Let's pray to that end. Father, today, we're asking for you to do in us that which only you can do. There's no amount of me standing up here and articulating the message that can ultimately change the human heart. We need your spirit in this place, Father. We yield control to the Spirit's movement today. Move in our midst. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.